Whoa! I hate it already, but I'm gonna stick with it.
We're too lazy to start over.
That's this week. Oops.
Oops.
I'm the guy smacking his microphone now. Whatever. Who cares?
Is this how you start an episode?
If we want to.
This is what we do.
We're already late with the episode. Might as well just...
Ignore all rules.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah.
To be fair, we set the rules for the podcast.
We do. But we have... There are rules about ignoring the rules. But we don't have time for that today.
There's no time.
What? It squeaks when you bang it. There's no time. A little office quote there. Yeah. So, speaking of the office, we have an incredible episode planned today.
Yes, thank you. Excellent segue.
Yeah, no correlation there. Actually bringing in my wife into the studio.
Back into
the studio.
She's been here before, but it was a very different talk last time.
Yeah, last time she was here was during the Fire Away episode.
She was just asking her things that...
Yeah.
She has fair game, but she did it publicly.
Right. So this is a little bit different thing we're going to venture into. So just to set everyone up for this, let me ask you a question.
Please.
So, looking back over your life, as long as it's been, could you separate the old Chase from the... Is there an old Chase and a new Chase?
Yeah, but there's no defining moment that just like, pow. It's like, it was a long period. Not a long period, but like, it was a few years that it took to transition to quote-unquote new Chase.
Yeah, I love that answer because a lot of people, especially men, think... They have to have this huge, like, what's the word we use? Epiphany.
Yeah.
Like, this thing happened, and in that instant, on the drive home or whatever, I just became a different person.
No, that's possible. Like,
it happens.
It does, but...
But I would say, unlike what most people inside of, let's say, a faith-based community, Christian community would say, they kind of make it sound like that's how it should happen for everyone.
Yeah.
And then it really discourages men because it doesn't happen that way a lot of times. So I would echo your answer and say, yes, I can separate the old Ben from the new Ben. But it was a process of working through becoming a new person. So here's another question. I think this is fascinating to me. So although there's this marker of you were a certain kind of man and now you are a different kind of man, do those always stay separate?
No. No, I think part of the battle is not falling back to old Chase, because he's still there. He's not gone.
You didn't evict him.
Yeah, you're just better at saying no.
No old Chase.
Yeah.
We're not going to show up today.
Right.
Right, so different guys have different trigger points, and although they're a lot the same, I think what I'm trying to do in setting us up today is maybe let a lot of guys off the hook from... having to wallow in their failures.
No, yeah.
Because we all have these different triggers. So let's just, for the sake of our listeners, maybe talk through just between you and me.
Just between the two of us.
Just between the two of us, yeah. What our triggers are. When does the old Chase show up?
Very quick. So the old Chase was real good at procrastinating. Real good. And
wait, tell me what you mean there. That means like not just... that you did procrastinate, but it
sometimes things never didn't really get done anyway. Yeah, procrastinating to the point of failure.
Oh, okay.
Like self-inflicted failure.
Got it.
And so how that happens nowadays is like that's still a comfortable point for me. Like last minute, just get it done, and a lot of my energy can come from that. So if I try to embrace that, it can go negative real fast, and that's when old Chase kind of comes into the fray.
Yeah. So is that just at work or home things too?
Oh, anything.
Whoa.
Eating. It doesn't even matter.
I could see that totally backfire. But I love what you're saying that there's this, at times it really pays off because you do work well under pressure. So that can be really difficult.
So I think that's a good point to say, like, there's positives from your old self, but there, like, a lot of times you didn't have the know-how to embrace those positives. It was just probably most of the time just negative, negative, negative.
Yeah.
My entire school career is just that.
Yeah,
that
the word
side
I use for that is clunky. You're just clunky with that.
Yeah,
A lot of stuff was just underdeveloped. Yeah. So
what about you?
I have some triggers. I think the old Ben shows up for me when I feel threatened.
You get defensive?
Yeah. But not only external things happen, but a lot of internal things happen, which you could understand knowing me like you do. I may present as threatened and things like that, but the real trouble comes in when the mental battle shows up.
Start questioning, like,
Definitely start questioning things, become extremely insecure and then nervous about what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, you're very open about that, though. That wasn't surprising to hear you say at all.
Yeah, well, that's kind of part of my journey to health is to be open about stuff, which actually leads us to sitting down to have this conversation with...
Did you see what I did there?
I saw what you did there. With my wife, having a conversation with my wife, discussing what was it like living with the old Ben, and is there a new Ben? Let's just put it that way. Is there a new Ben from her perspective, and how has that changed our relationship? The big hope here is to give men hope who are listening, who maybe are having trouble in their relationships, are going through this process of growth, not getting positive feedback in the beginning, because that's part of it, to stick with the journey and to hear a man and a wife speak to each other about difficult things without it turning into a full-blown argument.
Oh, yeah. That'll be impressive. I can't wait to hear.
So here we go. So back again for your second time in the Hanger Podcast Studio. Welcome my wife, Cammie Derrick.
Woohoo!
Back again. This time you've got the microphone on your own, and we're here to discuss something that it's probably going to be a very difficult topic in some ways, but we're committed to the conversation, right?
Yep, committed.
So what we're here to talk about is what it's like to live with an unhealthy man. And in order to do that, I've got to admit very publicly that for a large portion of our marriage, I was unhealthy, but kind of in the worst way. Mm-hmm. Let me describe what I mean by that is that I kind of externally had things together. People believed that I had things together, was blocking a lot of people knowing me with religious knowledge and just how to operate in the world at my job, those sorts of things. But you kind of knew a different side of me at home, and that was difficult. So I'm wanting to dig into that just a little bit and see where the conversation takes us. But when I say living with Ben Derrick at home as an unhealthy man, in a lot of ways not initiated, that was hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it.
I'm off?
Yes.
Here we go. Okay.
Yeah.
I think yes, externally you kind of had it together. Your boss would have said you had it together. You're on top of things. Friends would have said that, but I think inside of our home, you were kind of scattered and unsettled and just kind of restless all the time, really. Not very decisive about things. And I think when you would make a decision on leading our family or with our marriage, it was, you just weren't settled on it. You were kind of riding the fence. So
what would you say, based on your perspective, was leading to that, making me so indecisive, or just pulling back the curtain a little bit for people who are out there that are in relationships, whether married or not, but present a little differently publicly than they do privately? What do you think was behind that being restless, or what, as you're describing it?
I think that you kind of were directionless. You didn't really have a clear path forward, and didn't, I think you were kind of on the path that you thought everybody else wanted you to be on. You were not, you didn't know who you were. You didn't know what you wanted. You weren't listening to the gifts that God gave you. You were kind of following what everybody else expected you to do, parents or peers.
So let's take it to God's language. We've watched that together actually multiple times. So you're kind of putting me in the category of the Roy who was looking to Frank, like, I'm going to be who Frank wants me to be, who Frank's kind of raising me to be. There wasn't this identity that I owned, Frank or no Frank.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So, yeah, I can say that's pretty true. Some of it was personality driven. Some of it was my history. But I'm curious to know, we got married young. Right. And we're our last semester of college. We make this decision to get married. And, you know, was there a moment where you thought, what have I done?
Leading up to it or after we got married?
Either way.
No, I mean, really, honestly, no. There were plenty of times that life was not going the way that I thought it should or thought it would, or it didn't turn out the way that I thought it was supposed to. But no, I never never wanted to flake on you.
Okay, well, let's dig a little deeper there, though. It's like, this isn't going the way I thought it was going to go. That's all really clean, safe language. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
I think, well, it was job-related, a lot of it. You know, you got through seminary, and then we...
That's preacher school, by the way.
Preacher school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that really was, you know, I expected you to be kind of buried in the books, and you were. And that was fine. Then when you took on your first job in ministry, it just kind of, I knew in my head that it was going to be a big commitment and you would be pulled by a lot of people, you know, all the time, constantly, like never a day off, but I just wasn't ready for that. I wasn't prepared for everybody else to need you all the time.
Mm. So how did that cause problems for us? So far you've painted me, and I think correctly, as an indecisive guy that was led by what people around him thought he should mm-hmm. be, and also had this huge sense of obligation to everyone else. And a lot of times there was a very low obligation to you mm-hmm. as my wife.
Question again? What's the question?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that's
how did that play out?
Yeah. How did that play out? You're saying I was tugged on a lot and I was,
there weren't any boundaries. There weren't any boundaries, you know? And I think sometimes I was put last. And then after we had Owen, you know, he was put last, not intentionally. I don't think you did that intentionally. And, you know, at that time I wouldn't have called you out on it, but I think it was just, you knew that we would still be there and you had to meet everybody else's needs or everybody else's expectations. You had to get that done. You know, there was no boundary around your time or your personal life.
Yeah, I can, looking back, I can see that too. And some of it is a guy trying to like earn his way, you know, and trying to make sure that you're bringing money home mm-hmm. and you're keeping the job. But I remember using that a lot in our arguments early on in our marriage, saying things like that to you, you know, like, well, this is my job and I've got to do this and it puts food on the table mm-hmm. and you're just going to have to deal with this. And I was pretty curt in my conversation with you yep. about that. So let's do a little bit of test here, just some word association. So thinking back to the beginning of our marriage, if I say the word validation, what does that make you think of?
Honestly, sex.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to make you too uncomfortable, but we're doing this because there are people out there that are in relationships that are in that Roy and Frank kind of a relationship, or they love their spouse or they love the person that they're in relationship with, but it's just not going well. And we're discussing that there's a guy before and a guy after, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But sex as validation in the beginning part of our marriage was tough for us, mm-hmm. right? And that was my fault, right? From your perspective, that was my fault. So how did that work out? I mean, what is that? It's one thing to say it, but what did it look like?
There was, I think you just felt completely rejected. If, you know, you kind of had this desire to be in the bedroom at night and it didn't work out, I think you just completely took it as rejection from me. And it wasn't that way at all. It was, I guess it was just made a bigger deal than what I saw it as.
Okay, so it resulted in like the conversations we've had, by conversations, I mean arguments, were a lot of like, there was just a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure,
yeah. That side of our relationship. Mm-hmm. So we've never talked about it this way, but I'm putting some stuff together. So there's this young guy that's trying to make his way in his first job, basically, and has been married for a while, and then a kid comes along. So there was some sex happening. So then a kid comes along, and he's distracted by all the things he needs to do for other people. Mm-hmm. So basically puts his wife on the shelf and says, I'll be back when I can get back.
It wasn't quite that bad, but.
Well, I'm just describing it from how guys would talk. Put his wife on the shelf, and then when he gets finished with all those things and gets a breather, then he comes back and says, and this is where I'm bringing my perspective into this, man, that was a tough lap. I worked hard. Now I'm home. I'm ready to relax. And I need to be validated by my wife because the stuff at work was a little bit shaky, or it's leaving me with this kind of weird feeling. Was I good enough there? So I bring my need for validation to you to say, well, I can be good enough in the bedroom with you. That's what I'm really after, mm-hmm. is some validation. But the way that we're talking about it in our marriage is, well, it's just, this is sex. This is what married people do, you know, but it was much bigger than that. And I just wasn't being honest about mm-hmm. what I was mm-hmm. actually after.
I don't think you put it all together.
Right.
What you were really needing or looking for.
Right. So thinking back also, the times where you saw me the most angry, what led to those?
Well, work was causing some anger. I think you were frustrated because you weren't really putting strong boundaries up. You know, I mean, you would try to put boundaries up, but they could get washed away. So you would put up some strong boundaries or some boundaries, and then they would get stepped over. And I think you were frustrated that your time wasn't really your own. You didn't have a lot of control over your schedule and your personal life. I lost the question. Just being honest here. What happened?
I'm not sure. Keep going. Don't worry about the question.
Angry.
Thank you, Chase. Why were you angry? Is that...
Well, the times that you saw me the most angry is what I was asking.
Here. The times I saw you most angry, yeah. I think it was just not having control of your... You did have control, but you weren't exercising control over your schedule. And then, you know, you'd have some time off, and then there'd be these family pressures on you, and a lot of that was my fault. And I think you were just frustrated all the time. Mm. Just frustrated all the time, you know?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. So maybe if we could just back up and give some general things that obviously based on your experience is why you're answering. But if, you know, we've got the world of men listening that mm-hmm. are part of the Hanger movement.
No pressure.
Yeah, but they need to hear this. So if you could answer this question for them, I think it would be very helpful. What is it like to live with an uninitiated, unhealthy man? What's it like for the woman?
Okay, I'm just going to speak for me.
Do it, yes.
I did not feel secure, and I did not know that then. I wouldn't have said that then, probably. But now that we're on the other side... and have been for a while, and looking back, I feel like I would have called you the leader because in my head I thought that you should be, but I didn't feel secure. I didn't feel like you had a plan for our family or, you know, a clear direction of how the family should go, just even the day-to-day stuff, just, you know, I didn't feel secure. I didn't feel led.
So the security piece is actually a really mm-hmm. big deal. And most men, myself included, I'm not thinking about that.
Yeah.
I'm like, as long as I'm bringing pay home, mm-hmm. that is security, you know, but it's much more complex than that. So for you, the main thing that you're suffering under living with old Ben is that you just don't have a sense of security.
Yeah. It just kind of felt like we were surviving, really.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have said that then. It wasn't something I was aware of. You know, it's not like we were miserable or I was miserable, but looking back, like you've got it now. Like you got control.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the process quickly. We were discussing before you sat down that oftentimes there's a process of someone going from who they were to who they are now. Mm. There's a big misconception that the way that it happens is just a snap of the fingers. I heard something a guy said at a church one time and my whole life changed. Those things happen, but it's not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how you experienced me changing. The reason I'm bringing that up is because we actually had some of the most intense times in our marriage as I was getting healthy.
Yep.
So there are a lot of men that have jumped in with this Hanger thing. They're learning lots of new things, listening to the podcast, going on trips with us, reading articles. They're trying to get better at being men, but they're meeting some resistance. We went through that
mm-hmm.
big time. So describe that process a little bit from your point of view, because I know I'll share how I was feeling, but I know from the arguments that there was a lot of discontent on your side.
Mm-hmm.
which seems a little strange.
Again, this is just from me. I can't speak for every wife out there whose husband is going through a healthy change. But for me, even though I knew what you were doing and you were trying to dig into your past and just doing a lot of evaluating, and, you know, I knew the journey you were on. I knew the goal you were headed toward. And I knew that things needed to change for you and for our family. But A, you were super focused. You were just like in your tunnel, just learning and digging in as much as you could and reading. And so I felt like suddenly you were distracted, a good distraction, but still it was like suddenly your attention was on something else. And then B, sometimes I didn't really recognize the man that was living with me. There were days where it was just such a sharp turn, such a big change. And it was a lot of adjustment.
Okay.
Really.
Talk more about that. Cause I feel like those are the landmines. So there's like, who is this guy? What does that mean?
Well, like I don't have an example in my head, but for example, you know, you jump in with the boys and make a really direct decision, some kind of parenting thing. And I'd kind of be like, whoa, like, where did that come from?
That's so real. You've
kind of been like MIA for a little bit, and I've been handling this the best I can. And now suddenly you're like the chief all of a sudden. So that was, you know, that was hard. That was difficult. I was kind of felt like you don't get to just jump in and take charge all of a sudden.
Okay, I get that. So let's stop for a little bit of practical advice here for guys that are on this journey themselves. If I handled it incorrectly, which I'm willing to submit to you saying that, but in the very least, because it caused some division between us, the way I was handling it, how should a man handle that? Like, he comes to this understanding, you know what? I need to be more engaged as a father. He doesn't just decide, all right, I'm going to do that.
I think the biggest thing is to have a conversation with your wife and say, like, this is the journey I'm on, and this is how I've gotten to the journey. Like, I've been talking to so-and-so, or I've been reading so-and-so, or I've been going to the hanger group, and these are some things I'm seeing that I need to change. I don't like these things, and this is my goal. This is what I'm working toward, and let her in on the journey. And I don't know if you ever had that conversation with me. I don't remember it.
Well, I say a lot of things.
And I think it was slow. Like, I think it was a slow realization on your part that you needed to turn some things around. So
yeah, and my personality lends towards, I have a lot of conversations internally. So sometimes I feel like I've talked something to death, but I've never spoken to anyone about it. So I'm have all these pros and cons, and things are swirling around, and I just kind of assume, well, if I've been going through that, surely my wife knows about it. She lives with me, and she's heard me say this one thing or another. And so this kind of abrupt shift in attitude or an application really put a big point of division between the two of us. And honestly, from my perspective, I was pissed. I'm like, you know what? I've been on a delay of like 16 years for this, and now you're going to come at me for getting it straight and actually doing something about it? Screw you, you know? Or don't screw you, or can I screw? Well, you know, it gets a little muddy there. But I was like, man, I'm kind of fired up about this. You need this, and you've wanted this, and you've communicated this to me for all these years. Now I'm doing it, and now you're angry. Like, well, I can't just pick up my toys and go home. I am home, you know. So for me, it was really a struggle to that sense of validation was still running through there. I needed you to validate my process of getting healthy. So we've learned a new word for that now, thankfully, because we're friends with therapists and things. But I was extremely codependent. Like, if you were okay, then I was okay. But if you weren't okay, then I wasn't okay. I mean, that was a really, really big deal. Yeah. So having to understand in my journey to health that I'm going to piss you off sometimes with some things that I do, but I got to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that the reason I'm calling that out is because I think that was an unhealthy pattern we were stuck in that you really enjoyed. You're like, hey, I can make my husband hop.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that stopped.
I'm being honest. Yeah.
Right. That stopped pretty quickly. And you're like, whoa, time out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm supposed to be able to say this and you're supposed to do that immediately after I say this. And I stop that stuff. But with you, if you had been informed what you're saying, if I'd come to you and said, hey, I feel like I need to be okay without you being okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the next time you're upset with the decision that I've made, if I feel like it's the right thing for us to do, and I've checked with my community about it,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to have to just damn the torpedoes. We're going to move ahead with this.
Yep.
That would have helped a lot.
Absolutely.
What I did instead was...
Here we go.
Damn the torpedoes.
That's all that was there.
Right.
Which is so
and not just one conversation, but just keep the conversation going. Keep the communication going throughout the process, you know?
Like every step of the way.
Well, not every step of the way, but...
So did you feel threatened? We're still talking about the process
by the
here.
Guys?
Did you feel threatened that guys knew me more
yes.
than you? Okay, talk some
privacy,
about that, because I'm still confused.
Oh, no.
Some about that.
I felt like sometimes you would start talking about something and then you'd say, you'd kind of tiptoe around it. Like you wouldn't want to disclose everything, you know, because it was a confidential thing amongst your guys.
You got it. Okay.
And it just, you know, I'm your wife. So kind of set me off a little bit.
Like I should be able to know what's going on in my own garage on a Tuesday
right.
night.
But that's also been a process for me, just seeing what's happening out there on Tuesday nights in our driveway or our garage, seeing what's happening and seeing the changes that are coming, you know, from other men, and kind of just, I've developed a respect for that's a safe place for them. And, you know, I don't have to know everybody's business.
Yeah.
But it was your business that I felt left out of, you know?
Kind of, but say more, yeah.
Well, I mean, even still, like when you're meeting with, can I say names?
Sure.
Doug and Steven?
Yes.
I feel like there's kind of things that maybe you don't want to share, but it just doesn't bother me anymore. I trust the process is all I can say.
Yeah.
I trust what's happening.
I'm putting together for the first time here in this conversation that whoever is getting healthy or taking that journey of health, maybe in just a rapid way, they're in process, but the people that they're connected to are in a process also.
Yes.
And you've got to care for the other people in their processing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, how long had we been married when you were starting?
I would say it was like probably 15 years in, 14 years in.
So, I mean, it's a pretty big shift, you know, I think. That first conversation and then continuing the communication. But the first conversation is super important because you got to say, these are some things that I want to change, and it's going to mean change for you, and it's going to mean change for our home and our marriage. And, you know, it's a process and we got to wade through it.
Yeah, I think just peeling back a little bit to describe it, my hesitation in doing that in the beginning was if I received resistance from you, then I believe it would have paralyzed me.
Mm-hmm.
I was that codependent on how you felt about things. And I think as a self-protection, I'm like, you know what? I'm not talking about this. I'm just flipping the switch. Because if I get a little pushback from Cammie, I'll be dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I'll keep going through this. And the reason I'm so open about that now is because I think a lot of men are stuck in that position.
Mm-hmm.
A, we're comfortable with our old pattern. I mean, marriage, good or bad, you fall into patterns, and that's how you live life.
Mm-hmm.
That's your normal, as you were describing earlier. And I think I just kept that really close because I thought, man, if she gets angry about this, or I get the sense that she's not going to participate in this with me, it's over.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to back away.
Can I say one more thing that I just thought of?
Yeah.
I think this is important for other wives. There may be somebody out there that needs to hear it, but I think, or I know that a lot of the process and the journey that you were on was exposing things in me that I didn't like, you know, I didn't want to see my own flaws and see things that needed to change. And I still go through that. I still, as you're continuing to grow, I see things in me that I want to be different, and it overwhelms me to think about doing the work to change them. So
yeah,
that was
that's
kind
real.
Of like in my face.
Yeah. And for a while I was trying to run your journey of health.
Yep.
I was like, it needs to look just like mine. You need to read this. We need to go sit down and talk to this mm-hmm. therapist because this guy's helped me out. We should sit there together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you were throwing up all sorts of roadblocks like, and I was just, no, we're going to do it, you know. And that caused some problems because I can't make you grow,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think living it out in front of you, this gets us to kind of the last part of the conversation, which, by the way, thanks for having this conversation so
gotcha,
publicly.
Babe.
You would say that there is a distinct difference between the old Ben and the new Ben.
Absolutely.
Would you go far enough to say the people who have not been around me for the past 5 years,
mm-hmm.
for any significant period of time,
would not recognize you?
Wouldn't recognize who I am. They'd have that conversation mm-hmm. like, I don't even know this guy. Right.
Yep,
so
sure.
We're talking night and day. So let's describe now what it's like living with the initiated. What I have in my mind is we have this scene with Truckee we've been working out this whole season where he's not initiated. He's refusing to get on the horse. He goes through this process with Roy and he's a different kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's a different young man afterwards. And I feel like for me, I was on this very lengthy delay of being in that moment, and it was a process, just mm-hmm. like with Truckee. So what is it like living with the new Ben?
You're confident, you know. I don't feel like you're ever shaky, and when you are shaky, you're okay with that. You're okay working it out, you know, if you're on the fence about something. With parenting or with your job, you wrestle with it until you get to the bottom of it, and then you're good to go. There's not this constant restlessness all the time. You're confident, you're secure. I think you know what you want. I mean, you've got this whole plan for leading up to 40, and you know what you know what you want out of your life. You know what you want your kids to say about you when they leave our home. You know, your ministry goals, you have all these goals and all, you kind of have it scripted out. You, lead our home. And I, that insecurity that I was talking about earlier, I don't feel that anymore. I feel like you're in charge and I'm good with that.
And we've gotten to the place now, like you're starting or not starting this is your years into this now, multiple years into this now, but you have a career. And we've gotten to the place now where you will ask me for advice mm-hmm. inside of your career. You know, you've invited me in. I think that to me has been a huge signal of there's a sense of security and a bond there that probably you couldn't trust me with mm-hmm. before because I wasn't showing you that I knew how to handle my own career.
Yep.
And now that I'm pursuing health, you invite me in and say, hey, can you help me out with this? Mm-hmm. I'm having a little trouble with this. One of the things that we've adopted that I love now is that I will literally say to you in a conversation, do you need a friend or a husband? Which one do you need here? And you'll be honest with me. You're not offended by that mm-hmm. question because you understand I'm saying, do you want me to run the table here and tell you what the heck you need to do? Or I just need to say, that must
girlfriend.
Be hard. I'm sorry, you know. And sometimes after we go through that conversation a couple times, I say, you need to call a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I'm not being the type of friend that you need. You need to pursue this mm-hmm. with somebody else. And so that level of exchange doesn't lead to some sort of huge argument with passive-aggressive mm-hmm. behavior, you know. So keep going. I like when you say good things about me.
Oh, man.
You're out of good things.
No. I got it more good. You're super direct, you know, which...
You like that? You like the super direct?
I like the super direct. I like it.
You're like, get him, go get him.
Yeah. You're just like, what'd you say a minute ago with the damn the torpedoes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is the way it is with our boys or with what... Like, this is how it is, you know?
Yeah.
These are my boundaries. Boundaries are good. Like, that's another thing. Boundaries are good. Boundaries are, you got to have boundaries. They're not bad things. And I think for me, especially as a nine, I
Enneagram nine,
I can't draw a boundary very well. And you've shown me boundaries are good. They make things clearer for you and the other person. So, yeah, you just cut it.
Cut to the chase.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say. So, you're welcome. Yeah, I think about how it plays out with our sons. You know, we have almost 12, almost 9. And, you know, children just, they're constantly making requests. Mm-hmm. And I watch you, and your no has like...
I have a reason.
Yeah, this huge like presidential address after why you said no. And
you say no.
In the beginning, I mean, said literally. No. And you looked at me like, what a terrible thing for a father to say. Like, you're not gonna give him the reason? Just like that. That's how you say it. I'm like, no. I'm not going to give them the reason. So, but this represents years. Literally of
years.
Work. Years of work.
Years.
So in your opinion, becoming the new Ben, what were like maybe the top three things that I had to fight, that I had to push back?
You could have given me a little warning on that one.
I'm off the
top
cuff here.
Three things you had to push back. Like, well,
those things can't run me anymore.
Validation.
Yeah, let's loop back to that a little bit, because you would say our sex life is better now than during those 16 years of me bringing that need for validation into the bedroom.
Absolutely.
Now that it's free from that, we're enjoying sex in a much different way than even when we were newly married, which is crazy to think about. At least that's the way I'm experiencing it. I'm free to enjoy that now because I don't have this external thing in the bedroom with us. Like, what is this thing? What is this doing here? You know, there's just a lot of freedom in that to drop the validation. And I think we should point out, it's not just in the bedroom. It's relationship wide.
Our relationship.
Our relationship, that I'm not like making decisions worried if that's what you needed me to say, or, you know, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Okay. So number one would be validation.
Well, and I didn't just mean with me, just with anybody. You know,
well, not sex with anybody.
No.
Validation with
like
anybody.
Approval okay, from good. Other people.
Let's clarify that.
Approval, yeah. From your parents, you know, I think that was something that you kind of bothered you if you felt like they weren't on board with a decision you made or your job or whatever, you know, just needing their approval or needing the approval of your mentor kind of people. Just being able to make your own decision and stand on your own two feet.
So you're still describing validation, or is that a separate thing?
I'm categorizing that as one.
One thing. Okay, it's like validation, approval.
So the other things you fought. I think you kind of had trouble setting up some boundaries. Maybe that kind of goes hand in hand with the approval, but just...
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I'm having trouble here.
Well, that's fine. I mean, it's a difficult question. I'm having trouble answering it for myself. Mm-hmm. I think definitely validation was the thing I had to fight. I think insecurity, or I know those seem like the same thing, but insecurity or lack of self-esteem, you know, I was living my life as the fat kid is the best way I know how to say it. You know, like just me and little Debbie, and that's just who I am, you know. I'm always going to be a kid kind of on the outside. And the difference between that and needing validation is that validation seems possible in one sense. If you're just a fat kid on the inside, it's never really going to happen. So I think I was fighting, like, which is going to sound crazy to a lot of people, but that I've become comfortable with that too. I know what was going on internally with me. I spent a lot of years, especially as a younger child, overweight, you know, not being able to do physical things that other kids were doing, having a blast with. You know, I can remember being a young guy and everybody's at the pool and they're ripping their shirts off and jumping in, and I stop and I'm thinking, I don't look like those guys. I'm not taking my shirt off, you know. And so I think I was trapped in that a lot, you know. I also think the performance-based acceptance stuff was big. I had to fight that. Just kind of rolling through a list of things right now. But a lot of those things have gone away. We're into the good season, into the good side. So wrapping up now with this conversation, what are the things that excite you now? Now that you've got the new Ben, the new husband, the guy that's done the work, you know, I'm trying to give guys a sense of it's going, the hard work and the tension's going to be worth it, because in the end, your marriage is going to be healthy in a way that your wife's actually excited about the future.
Mm-hmm. I hate to keep bringing it up, but the security thing, I feel, you know, especially with kids, every season is different. Like Owen's going into middle school next year, and that's a pretty big change, you know, especially for me, being kind of a part-time stay-at-home mom, and just the schedule changing and the more demands at school. And then of course all these things he's going to be exposed to, and peer pressure and all this. We've had several conversations about that, and you've just been able to say, it's going to be okay. We've got him on the right path. We're doing what we need to be doing as parents, and things are going to be okay. I just feel very secure in our marriage. I feel secure. You know, there have been times where we've not really known what the next season's going to bring with a job or whatever. And it's just, we've weathered enough, and I've seen you lead us through that. So I feel very solid and safe and secure.
That's what I'm talking about. So I'm winning right now.
You're winning.
What a day for me. All right. So let's maybe lighten it up. Just two questions towards the end, to wrap up the interview. First is favorite scene in Godless.
It's been a while since I've watched it, but I'm going to say the horse scene. I just love it. The Truckee scene.
Really?
Yeah. We've okay. watched it with the boys. Like, it's just, ooh.
Yeah.
Just motivational.
Yeah.
Because you can take the horse situation, like he doesn't want to get on the horse because he's afraid. I mean, you can apply that to anything.
Almost anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Young, old,
what
whatever.
Do you apply it to in your life?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm kidding. All right. Last question. This is serious. Speaking to Hangerman about the process of growth, about getting on the horse, being Truckee in the arena and thinking, should I, am I, will I, could I, what do you say to that man from the world of women? What do you say to that man?
If he's kind of like on the edge of starting that process.
Listening right now and he's like, I don't know.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
You can do it. You can, it's worth it. It's work, you know, it's a process. It's not a quick thing, you know. And you got to have a conversation with your wife about it.
So there's that.
Well, that was successful.
Oh, man.
That was an idea that went well.
Man, I'm telling you, I did not anticipate how uncomfortable that conversation was going to make me.
Really? You were uncomfortable?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, man. It suddenly felt very personal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It felt really clean, though.
Yeah, right.
Even
right.
The sex part.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it wasn't a lot of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she said that. But
no, no.
It's just a little weird to hear yourself described the effects of who you used to be. It's kind of, I said weird, but what I really meant is hard. It's kind of hard to hear how the old you is affecting someone that matters to you.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, but I was proud of her honesty, and I think it was helpful. Did you find it helpful?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was in my head
like taking some notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so high points for you. Do you have some high points?
Yeah, really just her overall vulnerability. Like admitting that she was willing to admit that she was wrong in the beginning about some things. But also that, like, there's things that you should do better as a man, you know? Like, no one is going to... Even a transition to getting healthy isn't going to go perfectly.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Big lesson there.
Yeah. The vulnerability was probably the most impressive and coolest part to me from both of you, honestly.
Yeah. It's, well, you know, let's be frank about that. The pun intended.
Yeah.
Let's be frank about that. The way that we were in that conversation has taken some work.
Yeah.
You know, if you were to, like, set the microphones up in our house 2 years ago, it would have been much more volatile, that conversation, especially when you get to the sex part. The wheels seem to fall off the bus pretty quickly there. But yeah, I think for me, some of the high points were listening to her describe that now she has a sense of security. Yeah. And one thing that didn't come up that I wish we had had a little more time to talk about is financially. She brushed up against it when it was like, sometimes we haven't known, you know, with your job and, mm-hmm. you know, money was behind a lot of that. And I know money for us has kind of been this hot button issue.
I freaking hate money.
Yeah,
dude.
Man. Well, I mean, Cam and I have had lots of arguments early on in our marriage. I'll give you a little bit of family history here. You know, she said at one point, kind of fighting whether your mom and dad would agree with your decisions. Mm-hmm. Well, growing up in my home, my mother handled all of the bills. She worked at a bank early on in their marriage, and she took care of the bills and still balances the checkbook on a weekly basis, and I knew to stay away from her when that was going on. Well, I got married to Cammie and just assumed, well, that's what the woman does. Mm. She takes care of all the bills. So you see this really lethal combination of my wife is needing this sense of security, and she was having to handle paying the bills, which for her was very nerve-wracking. I mean, for a lot of people, men or women, that's not very nerve-wracking, but for her it really was. And I was giving her like, well, that's what you should be doing. Like, I don't want to do that. You should be doing that. And she's got this deep need for security, and I'm just killing it. You know what I mean? So, you know, that led to some arguments in the very beginning. But the way that we were sitting down, it's my hope that the men and the women who are listening to this episode would have a renewed sense of hope that even when the work is incredibly difficult, there will be a time in their relationship where they can sit down and have a very candid and calm conversation about growth. That men do not have to stay trucky forever. That they can at some point make that transition and eventually exist in the world of women as a healthy and secure man.